All right, today we're going to be doing a new series, starting a brand new series called Letters from Paul. Letters from Paul. Paul wrote some incredible letters to the early church that I believe are still some of the greatest things that he was trying to communicate to them, but still some of the greatest things that we're struggling with, some of the things we need to have revelation on. It's a tremendous, tremendous insight. I believe I want to bring it to our attention, go deep in the study. Now, I know that letters from Paul maybe doesn't sound as cool as multiply or all in, but I'm telling you, this is going to be a very powerful and deep series as we dive into the Word of the Lord, see some of the things that Paul had to say to us. Today, I want to talk to you about the thought, what upset Paul? What really upset Paul? Now, today, I know what upset you. I can go to your media outlet, I can go to your social media pages, and I can read over the last 2 weeks and find out all the things that have upset you. I can just go through your timeline and see, you were upset about this. This aggravated you. This made you mad. This got under your skin. We can see it. See, Paul didn't have that privilege. He couldn't just tweet out when he had something going on. He had to actually take time and write long letters. So that's why I believe that God allowed Paul to be in prison as long as he was, because he had to get him still long enough for him to share some things, to write some things down. Paul has some things he was very much upset about. We're going to go to study the Galatian church today. Paul has started these churches in Galatia, planted them, went in and talked about Jesus and the grace that comes through freedom in Christ. He got them planted on the right foot. He left, and later he hears about some things that are really upsetting him. You know what really upset Paul? The things that upset Paul the most was he hated religious attitudes. That's what he hated. Paul hated religious attitudes. And so he was addressing this religious spirit that was already making its way back into the early church. Jesus has died on the cross. Now we got Christ followers converting at a high rate, and now all these Judean Christians who are coming in, who are like, yeah, it's about Jesus, but you've also got these rules and regulations and things you got to follow. And so they were trying to water down God's grace and make it grace plus works, religious rules equals our salvation. And Paul was getting so upset. He was getting so frustrated. And so he took time to write to the Galatian church and to express his concerns about them allowing the religious mindset to come in and steal away the joy that was coming through grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now remember, no one was a bigger religious leader than Paul. Paul was raised up as a religious leader. He had studied. He was training to be a leader in the Sanhedrin. We see this thing happening. He wanted the fancy robe, and he wanted the big hat. He was ready. He was like, man, I put my time in. He went to school after school, and he was scholared deep in the Torah and the Word. He knew scriptures inside out. He had followed rules and regulations for years, advancing his way up in the religious community. Remember, they came and got Paul's permission to help stone Stephen. He was a part. He thought he was protecting what he thought to be the church of God. Was he thought he was protecting this religious community, saying, hey, there's a certain way. We got to follow all these rules. We can't just let this new thing come out and take away from everything that's been established, everything I've lived my life for, everything I've gone to school for, all the indoctrine I've been in my brain all this time. He's like, we gotta do something. So they were trying to guard that, and so they were actually stoning the early Christians, killing them as martyrs, because they were trying to think they were doing it in the name of God. They thought they were doing it for the right reasons. And so remember, Paul is on his way down the Damascus Road. He has the conversion. He gets blinded by the light. It says God appears to him, and Jesus says, hey, Paul, why are you persecuting me? I'm the Messiah, man. I am God's only son, the Messiah. He has this Damascus conversion. He's blinded. He receives a sight later. God speaks to him, reveals his grace that comes through the Messiah, through the cross. He reveals all that law he'd been studying. He shows Paul how that all led up to the cross. And now that all is fulfillment of the law now, is that Christ comes, brings grace, freedom in God. You can't earn it. It comes against everything the religious society wants. And so Paul has received it. He's excited. He wants to share it. He was so addicted to sharing this. Why? Because he wanted to share this thing that he had received, a salvation by grace. It was this thing that was happening. He broke free from the religious spirit. See, Paul had been set free from the religious spirit. Paul was bound by a religious spirit. His relationship with God, all he'd ever known, had been wrapped around religious rules, religious jargon, religious do's and don'ts, and everything was about earning, through religious rules, your relationship with God. And so now he's been set free from that, realizing that all is required of me is to accept what happened when Jesus died on the cross. I can accept the work of the cross, and I can receive God's grace in my life and be set free. I mean, he was set free, and he wanted everybody to know about it. He wanted everyone to know about it. You know, this is one of the things I see happening is that some of you here, you get excited when you lose 10 pounds, don't you? You find something that's working out, you lose 10 pounds, you're like, man, you tell everybody, man, you need to do, here's a new diet I've been trying, here's a new shake I've been drinking, here's a new workout I've been doing. I lost 10 pounds in 1 week, you know, we're all excited. And we share it. Why? Because when you see results, you want other people to experience it, right? You do. You want other people to be healthy. When you start losing weight and you're working out, you're like, hey, man, you need to work out. Come and join me in the gym. Or let's get back to eating clean and healthy. Because we see the side effects of that excites us. We see a new us. It excites us. Paul gets the revelation of the grace of God. It busts him free, and he gets excited, and he wants everybody to understand the freedom they've been given through the cross. And so he was working to share this freedom, this grace. Look what he says to the Galatian church in Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom, it is for freedom that Christ has set us, what? Free. This may seem redundant, but I want you to see this. It's for what? Freedom that Christ has set us free. Let's say it together. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Now stand firm, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Talking about the yoke of sin. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. You say, why do you keep saying that over and over again? Because we don't understand that in the church. I'm going to tell you right now, we heard that. I'm free. We sing songs about being free. We believe we've been set free. Only to go back tomorrow and live a slave to our past, a slave to guilt, a slave, if we have a good day, we're feeling close to God. If we have a bad day, we feel far away from God. That's a slave to sin. The reason you and I have been set free, Jesus, what? Set us free on the cross through the blood that was shed for the remission of all sins, for the forgiveness of all sins. When that happened, that set us free. Why were we set free? For freedom! Not for us to walk around in bondage. Not for us to walk around feeling like we're second-class citizens, but for you and I to realize it is for freedom. Christ died freely on the cross for my sins that I could experience, just like Paul, I can experience the freedom that comes through a relationship of the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's for freedom. Let me say again, it's for freedom. That's why I've been set free, so that I can be live free. I wasn't set free to live a slave. See, we understand I've been set free from my sin, and then we walk out, and then religious attitudes come in, and they try to bring us down these steps of living back bound by laws and do's and don'ts and performance. I was good, I was bad, do this, do that. That's what religion does. And it upset Paul. It upset him that day, and I'll guarantee you, it still upsets him today. It should upset you. It should upset you. I can tell you, it upsets me when I see people that have been set free only to live a slave. It makes no sense to us, does it? To be set free, but yet to live a slave. A slave to what? He says, you've been set free from the burden, the yoke of slavery, the yoke of sin. What's that mean? That means that We don't allow ourselves to be controlled by sin any longer. Number one, the first part is we don't have to let ourselves be controlled by sin. We have been breaking, the power has been broken in our life, the power of sin in our life. We don't have to allow ourselves to be controlled by our sin. But we also don't allow ourselves, the most important thing what he was saying was, we don't allow ourselves to be controlled by my past sin, my present sin, or my future sin, because that was already taken care of at the cross. He's not going to get back on the cross and die again. Are you following me here? We have been set free from the power of sin in our life. So that I have to never come back here as a Christian. I have to never come back here in this seat and live in bondage again. I've been set free. It's for freedom that I've been set free. That I can walk free, live free. Because my relationship with God is not based on my performance. It's based on what he did at the cross. Amen. Give God a hand clap. That's big stuff right there. It's based on what he did on the cross. And Paul was getting upset because so many people were coming in. And these Judean Christians were coming in. And they were like, all right, we believe Jesus was Messiah. But we also believe you got to follow these rules. And so they were bringing all these rules and trying to bring them into Christianity. They had all these issues. Have you ever met issue-driven people? Oh, they'll drive you crazy, won't they? I have issue-driven people all the time. They'll come to me. They'll come out of church and they'll shake my hand. Oh, it's my first time here. I love your church. I love all this. But I got to ask you, on this one issue, what do you believe? I'm like, really? You've been to church. You've experienced one of our services. As you leave and talk about how great it is, but yet you're going to determine your opinion on me and everything about our church based on this one issue. That's what religion does. That's what religious people do. They were basing their thing on religious issues. They try to impress people. I'm more spiritually mature than you. I want to impress you with how holy I am with the issues. I've got the issues under control. I've learned to control these issues, and I've got these issues. I believe in this issue and this issue, and I wear the T-shirt. I got the bumper sticker. I got K-Love playing all the time, you know, and I am, and we've got these religious things happening. Nothing wrong with K-Love. Just saying the point here to make you laugh. You understand what I'm talking about? Religious people have all these things that they're trying to impress you with. This kind of reminds me of the story of the lady who I heard the other day about a lady who wanted her husband to write to her on Facebook. She's like, honey, please get an account. Please open up a Facebook account so you can post on my wall nice things about me. I see other wives and girlfriends, their boyfriends and husbands are posting nice things about them on their wall. And I want that. I want that. I want that. And he's like, I don't want Facebook. Whatever. You know, I care less about that. And she kept bugging him and bugging him. Finally, one day, she's like, I'm just going to make him an account for him so he can, all he has to do is just go there. So she goes, she makes him his own account. She sets up a profile picture. She gets them all set up, and she shows him how to use it. Says, here you go. It's all set up. All you got to do is push the button and post something nice about me. And, of course, he's like, whatever, you know. And he goes to work and forgets and never does it because he's not interested in it at all. And she gets frustrated and frustrated. So one day she goes in there and goes on that account, and she decides, you know what? I'm just going to write nice things about myself from my husband's page. Some of you are laughing because I think you've done that before, haven't you, ladies? Okay. Yes, he left his phone unlocked. You're the best wife ever. Yeah, you're writing those things. And so she goes in and starts writing all these nice things to impress her friends about herself from her husband's page. Then after a while, the guys at work are like, man, will you slow down on all these compliments you're giving your wife on your Facebook page? Our wives are coming against us, and you're making us look bad. He's like, what? What are you talking about? I haven't been on Facebook. I've never posted one thing on Facebook. He confronts her, and she admits to it. Yeah, I just did it myself. You know, that's kind of like some of us. We don't really care how people see. We just want to impress them. See, religious people don't really care. They don't really care how it gets there. They just want people to be impressed by them. Whether it's true or false, they want people to be impressed about how holy they are. They want people to be impressed about how spiritually mature they are. See, Paul was trying to protect the church. Look at this. Paul was trying to protect the church from the religious people who were trying to add on to God's grace. He had come and preached grace, planted these churches on grace, and he leaves and gets word that all these religious people are coming in now and they're trying to dilute it by adding on to grace by all these religious rules and regulations. So look what Paul had to say in Galatians 1, verses 6 and 7. He goes, I am astonished. Not, this isn't like, you know, hey, I'm here. He said, man, I am flabbergasted. I am taken back. I am in shock. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, this religious thing, which is really, look what he calls it, it really is no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, we see this thing happening here is that Paul had received the knowledge of being set free. He passes that knowledge on through grace, and then people come in who couldn't handle that. The religious community came in, and they start adding on rules, regulations, making people say, oh, you're not mature enough for that yet. You're not spiritually mature enough to do that or do this or follow that or do that. And so they start taking people who have been set free, and slowly the religious community puts them right back here, back in the bondage. So no wonder Paul's getting very, very irate and upset and astonished. I come, I set you free with the grace of God, and now you're letting the religious people preach you a different gospel. Look what he says, which is really no gospel at all. He goes, they're confusing you. They're bringing you to a place of confusion. I understand it. I've been there before. I've been confused. I know what it is to have people treat you and teach you that, you know, your relationship is performance-based on God. God's love for you is performance-based. I've lived under that bondage in my life. I had a whole generation of friends that don't even go to church now because they lived under that bondage and they never felt like they could measure up, and so they just gave up. And they never knew the freedom that came through Christ because they let religious people come in and stuff in their mind, stuff in their heart that they could never measure up. And unless they do this, God will never love them the way they should. And that's the biggest lie. And Paul was irate about it. He was frustrated about it. He was upset about it. It drove him crazy to see religious people coming in trying to dilute the gospel of grace. He had found this new freedom. He wanted everyone to experience it. Listen to this statement I made. Jesus didn't die on the cross for you to experience religious bondage. He didn't die on the cross for you and I to experience religious bondage, but he died for us to have a relationship that sets us free. That's what Paul was saying. It is for freedom that we've been set free. Jesus didn't die on the cross for you and I to live in religious bondage right here the rest of our lives. No, he set me free. He gave me the revelation of his grace so I could walk down here to Johnny and say, Johnny, experience God's grace, man. Now you get set free, and you go find somebody and set them free, and we find somebody and set them free. Why? Because it's addicting. When you get free, it's addicting. You want people to experience it. You want people to understand it, that you know what? You can live your life free. This is what was driving Paul. Thanks, John. This is what was driving Paul. He was so excited about this knowledge of freedom. And he was so frustrated with the religious people who came in and tried to steal it away. You know, when people do crimes in society today against children, it really frustrates us, doesn't it? I mean, people get frustrated anyway with crimes, but you see someone, you hear about someone doing crime against a child, boy, that frustrates people to no end, doesn't it? Because we get upset. I mean, you even hear about people in prison, in death row, who, if they hear of somebody who's done a crime against a child in prison, they tell you that person probably is not going to live in prison. They're probably going to get killed in prison. Why? Because even the hardened criminals get upset about crimes done against children. It's something about it because we hate it when people steal the innocence from children. You see, this is the same frustration that was happening with Paul. He was so upset at the religious community because they were taking the new Christians and they were stealing away their freedom in Christ and trying to put them back. They were stealing away their innocence. Man, they're getting free. They're finding out about grace. They're walking in the new joy of the Lord and relationship. And what happens then? Then they start seeing fruit coming out of that. Things begin to happen. And man, they're being set free. And all of a sudden, they come against them and they steal it away. They couldn't handle that. How can you call yourself a Christian when you haven't done all these things? You haven't attended the school of law. You haven't done all these things. You haven't observed all the tabernacles of feast. You haven't memorized all this. You haven't walked to this city on your bare hands and knees and came back. You haven't done this. So you are, maybe you know Jesus, but you haven't earned it yet. And they were stealing out of them the life. They were stealing out of them the joy of the new relationship. They couldn't handle it. They were stealing this innocence away, and it infuriated Paul. These self-righteous people were taking away the joy of new freedom in baby Christians. And man, he was so upset about it. It happens all the time. You know, Jesus was big about this. It upset Paul when religious people, they upset Paul. Paul could not handle religious people. After he experienced grace, it upset him. Think about it. When did Jesus get upset the most? Was it when he was hanging out with all the sinners? No. He had lunch with them. He said, come down. Let's go to your house. Let's go to the well. Let's drink with you. Let's go out and have, let me go out and spend some time with these people. But the ones who really made him mad were the religious people. Well, you can't heal on the Sabbath. You can't do this. And they were trying to follow the law, and he got so mad, he said, you are a den of vipers, man. You're a bunch of snakes with venom shooting out. He got mad. He even told him, he said, listen, it's better for you to take, see this big stone over here? You take this big stone, tie a rope around it, and then tie the rope around your neck, and then throw the stone off the bridge if that's the way you're going to treat young Christians. He wasn't very happy about it. It upset them when people treated new Christians and tried to steal away their joy. It upset them. It upset Paul. It upset Jesus. And it should upset you when somebody tries to take away your freedom in Christ. It should upset you when Satan comes and attacks your mind. I've left the world. I've given my heart to Jesus. So where's Satan going to attack you now? Right here with religious mindset. Now you earn your salvation. Now you earn God's love. Now you earn it. Because we can never earn it. We'll never feel like we can live up to it. And we'll live right back here. Saved by God's grace, but living in religious bondage. Paul was like, dude, man, you guys are missing it. Remember, it's for freedom. We've been set free. He came to set us free. The Jews hated people. See, who were understanding this freedom. The religious people always get upset. They always come up judging you. I can tell you that I've had people here over the last 9-10 years that have come to Destiny with a religious attitude. They come in trying to judge. I mean, even here today, it happens. We have people come in. They don't stay very long when they come here, but they come in. They come in like, well, Pastor, I kind of enjoyed it, but I tell you what, that music you got going, it's perverted. It's of the devil. That Pastor TJ, he can move his hips, but that's of the devil. And I'm like, you know what? If you think that movie's perverted, you're the pervert because I shouldn't be turning you on. You know? Pastor Jen, you wouldn't say that, would you? You better believe it, I did. Just go ahead and go out now because you ain't going to make it here in another 2 weeks anyway. So just go ahead. Why? Because I want to guard, as much as I can, I want to guard religious spirits out of this place. I want to guard it out of your mind. I want to keep it out of here. If I see you attacking one of our baby Christians, boy, you want to see me come unglued. You'll see that. You want to see me get up in your spiritual grill? Attack a baby Christian because they're not living up to your standard. Woo! Somebody might leave and it won't be you. I won't be them. I'm just telling you. Why? Because we're called to protect and to set people free. And, you know, I've had people come in, and they just, religion, and they come in and it's like, you know, they attack. I had one person tell me, he said, man, I've been wanting to visit your church for a long time, but I finally came and I loved it, but I was told by some people from another church that you guys had a big bar in this church. And you guys, on Sunday mornings, you had a big bar and you're passing out drinks for people, like alcohol and stuff during service. This is no true. This is a true story. And I just laughed, you know, I'm like, that's a great idea. We should do that. We'd really fill up the building. And I laugh, and you know, the reason why is because religious people hate it when something's happening. And when religious dies off, it gets stale and produces no life, they'll attack where life is happening. And when one church is growing fast and because and it's only been new, they'll attack it. They'll attack it because they're like, man, they're not following the law. They're not doing everything right. Don't they know they got to be in this community 20 years before they have any kind of credibility? Don't they know they got to do all these things? And religious people will attack people. It happens even today. We've got to make sure we guard against that. Paul was very upset about it. Jesus was very upset about it. We have been set free. And so what was happening now? So they're being set free by the grace of God. Now the Jews are like, all right, Christ did die. He is the Messiah. Some of them are like, all right, you're right. He is the Messiah. But you've also got to follow all these laws. And that's how you earn your salvation every day. And so this is what they do. They're like, all right, first of all, let's, all right, you call yourself Christians, but you're not really Christians yet until you've all the men have been circumcised. How many know that will kill church growth right there? Can you imagine this? Peter preaches the New Testament message after the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people are saved. 3,000 people get water baptized the next week. The next week, bring your knives. We're going to have a circumcision service. Hallelujah. All of a sudden, the church is empty. We wonder why. Yeah, I'll teach them. That'll teach them. I mean, every man in this place knows there's a reason why. When babies are circumcised at a young age, there's a reason why they don't walk for a whole year. Come on, if you didn't laugh at that, your laugh is broke. Come on, that's funny stuff. But they were trying, you see what they're trying to do? They're trying to control people and put them right back into this bondage of religious jargon and rules and regulations. What was happening? The New Testament church, they're finding out, all right, I just believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah, that he died on the cross for my sins. I'm set free. What happens then? They're having all-night prayer meetings. The Holy Spirit's being poured out to them. What's happening then? They're meeting in homes. They're having home groups like we're having tonight. And they're fellowshipping, breaking bread together. They're sharing each other's problems. They're praying for one for another. They're selling what they have, helping out those who are in need. You're talking about the fruit happening. And they're like, wait a minute. These guys are acting this over a few months and they're already showing this kind of spiritual fruit. Wait a minute. You got to do all this and this and this. They were jealous because they were operating in a new level of freedom that they had never experienced. The law had never brought them 20, 30, 40 years of serving the law, and they had never experienced that kind of joy, that kind of freedom. And so they're like, wait a minute, you guys are all wrong. And they try to steal it from them. That's what religious circles do. So let me give you, as we close today, three elements of religion. I believe this is why we got to guard the spirit, and this is what really draws us. Number one, three elements. It draws the draw of religion. Religion actually draws people. That's why we have people following false religions everywhere around the world. Because religion by itself will draw people. Because people like a way of measuring themselves, don't they? What we struggle with is we have received salvation as the free gift of God. But our mind, we can't comprehend that. I can take you out for lunch today. I got this lunch. And many of you here, you'll be like, oh, I got it, okay. And they call you next week, hey, I want to take you back after lunch, and it's on me this time. And they pay, and you're like, all right, we're even. It's like it was stressing you out to receive that free lunch. It was stressing you out because we have a hard time comprehending this thing of freedom, right? It can't be good if it's free. I've got to earn it. It has no value if it's free. I tell you how much value it has. It costs God's only son his life. He paid the highest price. That's how much value it has. But we say it has no value because it's free. So I've got to earn it. So it makes us feel better if we think we're earning something that has already been given to us as free. That's what religion does. Religion makes you think you got to earn it. It draws people. Listen, all religion is about you do more. All religion is about do more so that you can experience more. I do more good things that I can so I can experience more. But Christianity is about this. I've already received everything there is. Now I can walk and experience more. Now I can walk in that new freedom. I don't have to try to earn the thing anymore. I don't have to try to earn that power. I don't have to try to earn that freedom. I don't have to earn that joy. I can now, boom, I've been set free. Now I can walk in it and I can experience more in the freedom of my relationship with Christ. See, religion, no, you got to earn it first. No, I walk out free. Now I can live it. I can experience it. Religion drives people to confusion, brings people confusion. Religion is confusing, isn't it? So many rules and regulations. This person saying this person says to do this. This person says to do that. Look what Galatians says in 1:8. Paul made it very clear. Look what he told the Galatians church. But even if he's saying, if I ever come back to you, this is what he says, even if I come back to you, or any of my disciples, or people who are following me, if any disciples, even an angel himself comes from heaven, should preach a gospel other than the one that we preached to you originally, let them be under God's curse. He was saying, man, even if an angel from heaven shows up and tells you something different, don't believe it. Even if I show up a year from now and I've changed my mind, don't believe it. That's what he said. Believe the message that you have been set free by grace. Denominations, the religious leads to what the denomination divides. This church believes this, this church believes that. And it confuses people, and people think, well, I can believe God's real, but why, if God's real, then why are these churches hating each other? Not getting along. Look what Romans 14:1 says. Accept other believers who are weak in faith. Don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. Look what it says. Look what it's talking about. Believers, okay? Christ followers. Accept other Christ followers who are weak in faith. And don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. See, it's what he said. This is my attitude toward other churches. They may not believe everything. We may have an issue between us. I may focus more on this. They may focus more on that. But if they're a Christ believer and follower, I'm not to argue with them on that. Doesn't mean I can't talk to them about it. Doesn't mean we can't communicate about it. But it says don't get into big arguments about it. Don't. This is we're on the same team. What's what happens with religion? Religion turns people against each other. People kill in the name of religion. Religion focuses on man's opinion. Way too much on man's opinion. Religion gets you trying to please man instead of pleasing God. Religion tries to get you pleasing man, what man says is right, instead of pleasing God. Look what Galatians 1:10 says. Obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. Listen, I would not be Christ's servant. He said, you can't let people's opinion be the one. Don't live your life trying to please people. Live it to please the Lord. Live it to please God. free from religious mindsets. Don't attend church because you're worried that I'm going to be mad at you or somebody else is going to be mad. Attend church because you want to have life and you want to experience freedom and the grace of God and you want to come and celebrate it. That's why I attend church, not because I'm trying to please my mom, because she's going to ask me, did you go to church today? Did you guys go to church today? Yeah, mom, yeah, we're there. You came in 5 minutes before the sermon's over, but you got in, okay? Don't attend church because you're trying to please man. Don't do the right thing because you're trying to please somebody. Do it because you want to experience the freedom that comes through that. Don't read your Bible because you're trying to earn a spiritual grade. But no, read your Bible because it brings life and revelation and freedom and insight to the Holy Spirit in your life. Don't forgive people because, well, I better forgive or God's going to leave. No, forgive because it sets you free. Forgive because you've been given freedom. And it brings life in your life. At the moment of salvation, we were made sons and daughters of the King. I went from a person of sin, lost, when I accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah, when I accept the work of the cross, the grace that was given to me, I am released from the bondage of sin in my life. I have been set free from that. And I step into a new relationship as a son or daughter of the King. It's incredible. And Paul was trying to tell him this. Look what he says here in Galatians chapter 4, verses 5 and 7. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves. Right here. That was us. That was us. We were slaves to the law. Do this, don't do that. Do this, God will love you, don't do this, God won't love you. So that he could what? Adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. This is an important word because this is just not some spiritual word for Heavenly Father. It's a spiritual word for like Papa, Daddy. Like dad, like the same endearment you would give to your earthly father. He says we also had that kind of relationship with our heavenly father that we call him Abba Father. We're a son, we're a daughter. Now you are no longer, woo, you are no longer, you are no longer a slave to that place any longer. You're no longer a slave, but now God's own child. Since you are his child, God has made you an heir. This is the freedom. You are a son. You are a daughter. You have been made free. You have been given freedom to live free of the bondage of the weight of sin in your life. Your salvation is not based on your performance. It's based on what the work of the cross is. And when you get that revelation, it sets you free. Well, I need this, Pastor, because if I don't measure myself, I'll slip back and be the old person. No, you won't. I'm telling you, when you get a revelation of God's grace, how overwhelming it is, it will spring you forward into new heights in a relationship with Jesus. It will spring you forward. You will find yourself not wanting the things of the old, putting on the new creation, taking on his new heart that I talked about a few weeks ago. Man, it will revolutionize your life. It will change your mindset. We are made as heirs of God. I want musicians to come. You know, today if I've got five teenagers in my house, well, four teenagers and one college student in my house. So let's say today that I had five more come to my house. I had five different families that sent me one of your teenagers. No volunteers, please. Okay. And you send them to my house and we're watching the game, watching the movie. And they're like, Pastor Gene, we're hungry. Can you get us something to eat? And I'm like, let me go see what's in the kitchen. And I'm like, hey, it wasn't a lot there. But I found some peanut butter and jelly and some bread. How about peanut butter? Yeah, that sounds good. So I'm in there making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for everybody. And I get them all stacked up, and I'm getting ready to carry them out of the kitchen into the living room to give to all the teenagers there. Let's say that one of them falls off in the ground, and on his way down, the bread comes off, and it lands straight on the peanut butter on the ground, on the floor. and I pick it up, and it's got little carpet fuzz all over it. Maybe a few old hairs in there or some old chips from 2 years ago that wasn't bad. I don't know, something. You know what I'm saying? Okay? That's nasty looking. You know what I'm going to do with that piece? I'm going to take that bread, and I'm going to go like this. And put it back on the top. And guess who's going to get that sandwich? Not my kids, your kid. I'm telling you that now, so you won't send your kids to my house. You want to know why I don't give it to my kids? Because I treat my kids special. I'll admit it, I show favoritism. And so do you. We show favoritism to our own kids. We have been made heirs of God, sons and daughters. God is wanting to show you favoritism. He's wanting to show you that you've been set free from the freedom. Listen, he set you free from the freedom of religious mindset, from the addiction of sin, from the slavery of your past. He set you free as a son and daughter. Paul said, you got to know this. You've got to know this. You got to grab it. You got to comprehend it. You got to understand it because it sets you free. I want you to stand on your feet today. Some of you here, you were raised just like me. You were raised in a house of religious do's and don'ts. Ever feel like you could measure up? And even though some of you know this message, you've heard me talk about grace, somewhere in the back of your mind, you've allowed religious spirits to creep in and steal out the freedom that Christ has for you. And today, I'm telling you, it's a new day. That God's going to set you free from that. Today, you're going to let go of that. Today, you're going to say, you know what, Pastor, it's clicking for me today. I realize I've been set free. I'm not going to go back to that bondage. Come on, let's make it personal as we sing it to Him.
Sons and daughters of the King, lift up your voice and sing. Wardrobe the darkness out, Jesus rose and I'm going out. Sons and daughters of the King,
I want to pray for you today. Can I pray for you? I want you to lift your hands up across the auditorium today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come against every bondage of religious mindsets in this room today. Those people who grew up with religious people talking to them over in their ear. I pray right now, from their mind to their heart, there is a release of a religious mindset in Jesus' name. Father, may grace overwhelm them today. I speak freedom in Jesus' name. God, that religious spirits be cast aside. And God, a new freedom to walk in you. A new grace, a revelation that you have set us free. Father, right now, I come against those religious spirits and I pray that we walk in a new freedom. God, I pray that we don't guard our minds against allowing that spirit to come back and we keep that thing away from us. And God, we're going to walk in a new freedom. We're going to walk in a new freedom today. In Jesus' name, if you believe that, put your hands together. Say, God, I love you. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give him a shout of praise one more time. Freedom. This is what I want you to do. I want you to turn to your neighbor, and in the best brave heart voice you can do, put your fist in the air and say, freedom! God bless you.